This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Karen Marbin, Executive Director of the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department Foundation. Their Sheriff Salutes the Best of the Badge Gala is coming up at the end of October. Karen, thank you so much for being here today.
Hello, Heather. It's great to be here.
So first of all, what is the LVMPD Foundation?
The LVMPD Foundation is a nonprofit 501c3 organization that raises critical funds for Metro, our local law enforcement agency. We provide funding for low-income families through community engagement initiatives. So events that serve thousands of families across the valley, like Halloween and Easter events, National Night Out, as well as youth mentoring programs where the officers establish great relationships with at-risk youth and provide mentoring opportunities for them. So those funds are really important for us to raise to be able to support Metro in the areas of community engagement, as well as officer training and equipment and technology.
Wow, okay. So tell us about the Sheriff Salutes the Best of the Badge Gala.
The Best of the Badge Gala is fast becoming one of the must-attend annual events in the Valley. It is a fundraising event. In fact, it is our most important fundraising event of the year, but it's not a traditional gala. The program at the Best of the Badge Gala is entirely focused on commendations. This year, 52 commendations that are being awarded by Sheriff Kevin McMahill. These commendations are going to officers for their extraordinary acts of bravery, heroism, and service. And during this program at the Best of the Badge Gala, the audience gets to see body-worn camera video footage of the officers as the audience is taken through some of the most harrowing calls and events over the past year or so. So the officers are there to receive that commendation and recognition, and the audience gets a special treat to really understand some of the most harrowing events that our officers go through.
Yeah, wow, that sounds really interesting. So obviously with 52 of them, you know, that's a lot to talk about, but just kind of as a highlight, what are some of the acts of bravery and heroism that these officers performed?
This year, a couple of the incidents, there are 11 incidents that are being honored during those 52 commendations being served. Some of the incidents I think that the audience will remember is the mass shooting at UNLV from December 6th of 2023. The officers who saved the life of that fourth professor, those two officers will be honored. We also will be honoring a team of officers who responded to the active assailant attack at Las Vegas Athletic Club here a few months ago, as well as calls that included a 9-hour hostage rescue. We have a Purple Heart recipient who was actually hit by a drunk driver and survived a devastating motorcycle crash while serving the community. And so those are some of the events that the sheriff will be providing those commendations.
Okay. And then there's also a canine being honored.
There is a canine. Last year at the Best of the Badge Gala was the first time ever that we had a canine, actually two canine officers last year who were honored and received commendations. This year there will be a canine as well who will be receiving a commendation.
And what did he do or she?
The canine that's being honored this year was part of a group of officers who responded to a really harrowing event. And I'm not going to provide the details because I want our audience to purchase tickets and come and see and celebrate the impact of that canine coming up here in just a few weeks.
Yeah, that would be great. So speaking of that, when and where exactly is the Best of the Badge Gala taking place?
The Best of the Badge Gala is taking place on Friday, October 24th. The registration, the check-in and reception starts at 5 p.m. The program starts promptly at 6:30. So seating will be at 6:15 with the program starting promptly at 6:30 p.m. And it is at the Wynn Resorts.
Okay, nice. Now, sometimes in galas, there's other stuff going on. I mean, just watching the footage is obviously going to be really exciting, but do you have anything like silent auctions or other fundraising activities?
Yeah, so Heather, this is a unique event because at this event, there's not a live auction, there's not a paddle raise or anything like that. It's really all about the officers. So the money that is raised is through the sponsorship ticket sales as well as a silent auction. So there's a really big silent auction that is taking place prior to the event, and folks will be able to go online and bid on those silent auction items. So if they're unable to attend the event, they can bid online by just going to lvmpdfoundation.org. And then clicking on Best of the Badge, and they'll see the live auctions. Those items will probably be available about 3 or 4 days prior to the event that is on October 24th. And then two other things that happen during the program itself, in addition to the officer commendations, Sheriff will be awarding the Regina Coward Community Policing Award. And that award is going to someone on the department who's really all about impactful partnerships. And then he also will be awarding what's called the Best of Staff Award to a couple of the Metro employees that night.
Nice. Okay. Now, you did touch on it at the beginning, but what are some of the other community engagement programs and events throughout the year that Las Vegas residents might not be aware of?
I think for the listeners to be aware, this law enforcement agency does community engagement differently than any other agency I've seen across the country because it's really about forging meaningful partnerships. Our sheriff knows that, especially in some of the higher crime, higher poverty neighborhoods, having impactful relationship with that local law enforcement team is really key to reducing crime and keeping the community safe. And so some of the programs that are funded by the LVMPD Foundation through the funds raised by this event and others throughout the year include mentoring programs. A lot of them are focused on youth athletics. So whether it is hockey or football or soccer, it's really the officers who are working directly with at-risk youth to provide meaningful mentoring opportunities. It can also be providing resources to low-income families. So in Thanksgiving here coming up at Thanksgiving time, we are providing full Thanksgiving dinners ready to be prepared to 500 low-income families. What's different about the way we do it here is those Thanksgiving dinners will be provided to the local community-oriented policing team, and they will actually select the families who will receive those. So again, one more really meaningful touch point for them to knock on a door and provide that Thanksgiving dinner. And then in early December, we have a couple of Shop with a Cop and Santa Cop program where we provide gift cards for the officers to go shopping with some low-income kids who have applied to the program. And provide really 45 minutes or so of mentoring opportunities while they are shopping for the holidays.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, so you did mention the website once, but one more time, how can listeners find out more about the LVMPD Foundation, bid on the silent auction items, or get tickets to the Best of the Badge Gala on October 24th?
Yeah, so we still have some tickets and sponsorships available for Best of the Badge Gala. Folks can go to lvmpdfoundation.org, lvmpdfoundation.org, and then look for the Best of the Badge link, and the sponsorship opportunities are there. Audience members can also, if they're unable to attend, they can sponsor an officer. And so what that is they can say, hey, I want to cover, subsidize the cost for an officer and a guest who's getting a commendation. I want to provide funding for them to be able to attend. And that's a great way to show up as a supporter for law enforcement. And then that is the same link, lvmpdfoundation.org, where they will go to see the silent auction items that'll be posted 3 or 4 days before the event.
Okay, so once again, the website is lvmpdfoundation.org. That stands for Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department Foundation, lvmpdfoundation.org. You can find out more about what the foundation does. And if you'd like to get tickets to the 12th annual Sheriff Salutes the Best of the Badge Gala, once again, that's happening on Friday, October 24th, starting at 5 p.m. with check-in at the Wynn, and you can also sponsor an officer to go if you can't attend yourself. And all of the information is there at lvmpdfoundation.org. And we've been speaking today with Karen Marbin, Executive Director of the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department Foundation. Karen, I really appreciate you being here, letting us know more about the amazing work that the LVMPD Foundation is doing in the community. And this Best of the Badge Gala sounds like an amazing event, a unique event that really shows what the effort is that Metro puts in our community. So thank you so much for sharing today.
Thank you so much, Heather. We are proud to support a world-renowned law enforcement agency. Thank you.
How about Alltext? You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are 1,000 ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vale, and I'm speaking with Keita Rush, one of the athletes from WOW Women of Wrestling. They have a series of free WOW Live shows at the Fremont Street Experience over the next couple of weeks. Keita, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel so honored to be a part of this. Thank you.
So first of all, for those who don't know, what is WOW?
WOW is the most amazing all-female sports entertainment franchise, and it's one of the first, so it's really awesome.
Okay. So what do people experience when they see a WOW show?
Wow, when you come to a WOW show, you will see women that are athletic, that are beautiful, that are every shape and size, every ethnicity. You will just see a bunch of awesome women throwing down and knowing how to protect themselves, showing amazing acrobatics, showing wrestling skills, and just honestly, you will be wowed by being entertained.
Great name then.
Yeah, exactly.
And how do your shows present empowerment as well as entertainment?
Well, one of the most beautiful things about WOW is that A, it is an all-women cast. So with that being said, we all work together and we're all on the same team. And that alone is, I would say, women empowerment in a nutshell. And then I would say also the most important empowerment I personally think is knowing how to protect yourself. And all of us know how to do that. So being a part and being able to watch women do some amazing things and be on the same team and do it together. I can't think of a better definition of empowerment.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us about your personal origin story and journey to becoming a WOW superhero.
Well, I first started out as a track star. I ran the 400 and was incredibly fast and broke a lot of records. And then I was led to a tryout for WOW Superheroes. And I made it, and it was about 12 years ago. And I'm one of the veterans, and it feels pretty amazing to be part of something so profound and have seen it grow from a baby to what it is now. And now we get to perform live and put on this incredible entertainment show for you guys. And that alone is just something that I have grown into and grown with, and I've grown with WOW, and Keita Rush herself has grown as a wrestler inside of the ring, outside of the ring, and I'm just really thrilled for this experience on Fremont.
That's amazing. So, what was it exactly that inspired you to move from racing to wrestling?
I would say the day that I went to the tryout, I saw this girl named Lana Starr, and she's still with us. And she's so petite, so beautiful, more like a Barbie, I would say. And I'm petite, but I'm kind of like an athletic little build, like a little powerhouse build. And when I saw her frame pick up a girl that was four times her size and slam her and then pick her up again and suplex her and then do a drop kick, I was blown away. Like, how did that girl do that? Like, what is this? What is this? And I took the waiver home and I spoke to my father about it. And he was like, this might be something that could open some doors for you and you can learn something. And who knows where this can take you. And he was absolutely right. I started 12 years ago and have never looked back. And I've been with WOW since. And it's a beautiful story. It's been a lot of growth.
Yeah. And how do you represent the superhero persona?
Well, one beautiful thing is that I own a nonprofit organization and a business called Team Bully Buster Self Defense in Studio City. And we teach children, starting at age four, all the way up to adults, how to empower themselves. And like I said before, empowerment, true empowerment, comes from within. And knowing how to protect yourself is something that is a priceless thing, especially in 2025. So I would say having the empowerment place, Team Bully Buster, and teaching all of the children Muay Thai, boxing, jiu-jitsu, and wrestling, and knowing that they can protect themselves, de-escalate a situation, and handle them is me passing forward the empowerment.
That's amazing.
It really is. It's an honor. I wake up every day really pinching myself that this is my life. Like, I get to be with children every day in my own environment, and I get to be part of an all-female sports entertainment franchise and put the smack down in the ring. I can't think of a better life.
Yeah, so tell us more about the upcoming free WOW Live shows at Fremont Street.
Well, Las Vegas doesn't really ever have anything free. So that's a big thing. That's in capitals. And you get to come watch October 14th and 15th and October 21st and 22nd at 6 p.m. You will get to see 40 WOW superheroes competing. And there's going to actually be six new competitors. And we are going to be on Fremont Street. It's going to be the most amazing experience. You guys should come. Everyone that's listening, come check out Keeta Rush, the Bully Buster. Put the smack down. I'm not taking any more bullying. It's enough.
Yeah, now as you mentioned, it's hard to find free stuff except at Fremont Street Experience, of course. So how does WOW align with the Las Vegas vibe?
Entertainment, entertainment, entertainment. Why do people come to Las Vegas for the glitz, the glamour, and the shows? And that is exactly what we are. We are all superheroes within ourselves, but being part of WOW Superheroes, it gives us all a 5.0. So however we are in our real life, we get to just amplify it in the ring for all of our viewers, and it's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you mentioned working with and empowering kids. What would you like young people to get out of watching the show?
I would love for people to walk away from watching the WOW Wrestling Superheroes feeling empowered, feeling motivated, feeling inspired. I hope we're all relatable. I hope everybody finds somebody that they can relate to and just feel good about and find a new fan and find a new person that they love and are inspired by. And there's one for everyone.
That's awesome. All right. So you mentioned that you've been doing this for 12 years with WOW. In all of that time, what's your most memorable experience as a wrestler?
Ooh, my most memorable experience as a wrestler was my first Comic-Con and the line of children that were there to get my autograph. That was the most mind-blowing thing because I had no idea how many people were really watching or how many people really are fans. And to know that they were there to see me and they waited in line to get my signature was just something that I couldn't have never even imagined. And now that I'm that girl, Keeta Rush, I'm like, I have to live up to it. And it's pretty exciting to live up to it.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, so they don't need to buy tickets because it's free, but how can listeners find out more about the upcoming free WOW shows at Fremont Street Experience?
You can go to WOWE.com for all the information, and it will give you all the information as far as airing. Locally in Vegas, we're going to be on KSNV and KVCW, and we are going to be on Tubi, Paramount, Vice. So you can just go to WOWE.com and find out all the information that you're looking for.
Cool. And it says that there's a possible meet and greet at 5 p.m. on each of those days. How does that work?
Yeah, so if you guys come early, there will be superheroes ready to go and we'll be signing some autographs and probably have some merch out there and we'll be able to take pictures and, get everyone hyped before we get into it.
Nice. Okay. So once again, the website is WOWE.com. WOWE.com. You can find out all about WOW Women of Wrestling, the various shows that they do, the various superheroes that are part of the cast, and you can find out about the free WOW Live events coming up at Fremont Street Experience. Those are happening once again on October 14th and 15th, 21st and 22nd. That's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 5 p.m. for the meet and greet, 6 p.m. for the show kickoff. And we've been speaking today with Keita Rush, one of the athletes from WOW Women of Wrestling. Keita, I really appreciate you being here, letting us know more about WOW and the empowerment and the entertainment that it brings to the people and the work that you do, the nonprofit, and teaching people how to protect themselves from bullying. It's just amazing. So I really appreciate you sharing today. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Heather, for having me. Thank you very much. I'll talk to you soon, and I hope I get to meet you.
Every person is entitled to 30 fundamental human rights, and you only need to do one thing to enjoy all of them. Know them. Get your free human rights booklet today. Go to humanrights.com.
This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and joining me is Kira Byrne, CEO and co-founder of Green Our Planet. The organization's latest fall giant student farmers market is coming up next week. Kira, thank you so much for being here today.
I'm delighted to be back. Thanks for having me.
So for those who aren't familiar, what exactly is Green Our Planet?
So Green Our Planet is a local nonprofit here in Las Vegas, and we run the largest school garden and hydroponics program in the United States. From here, we work with over 1,300 schools, and we support teachers and empower them to use STEM programming in school gardens and using hydroponics laboratories to teach science, entrepreneurship, nutrition, and conservation.
Wow, that's awesome. So you started in Las Vegas, but 12 years in, you've grown a lot. What's the scope of the program right now?
Yeah, we are so proud of our Las Vegas roots. And yeah, we're in 44 states, 1,360 schools impacting over 500,000 students.
Yeah, that's amazing. How do you choose the schools that get a garden program?
So that's a great question. So really, the schools choose us, meaning, you know, every day we get inquiries from across the country from schools. I want a hydroponics program, or I want a garden program at my school. You know, how do I do it? So in some cases, schools can actually afford to pay us. But in many cases, you know, they just don't have the funds, or they don't have enough funds to, you know, pay for the hydroponics equipment and the curriculum and all the things. And so we do a lot of the fundraising ourselves, and then we give grants to schools. And we focus on schools in lower income neighborhoods, because they're often neighborhoods that are in food deserts, where students don't have access to fresh food, and then they become the solution to that problem, right? They grow the food in their communities, and then they sell it at farmers markets.
Nice. So speaking of those farmers markets, what is the Giant Student Farmers Market all about?
So the Giant Student Farmers Market is essentially part of our program where, you know, the teachers are teaching students how to write a business plan for their garden or their hydroponics laboratory, and teaching kids how to figure out the pricing and the marketing. And it culminates on this one day and in Las Vegas or Carson City or somewhere else in the country, where students come together like a regular farmers market, but everybody is under the age of 18, and students sell the produce from their gardens, from their hydroponics laboratories, and they also often make crafts and so on and so forth. So they're running businesses. We call them farmpreneurs.
That's awesome. So what can people expect from this year's fall student-run farmers market specifically?
So this year's farmers market, which is October 16th, next Thursday, students are going to have a lot of different kinds of crafts. So we know teachers have been sharing photos on our portal where we see students are making bookmarks and they're making all kinds of art in addition to what you'd expect to find, which are, you know, lettuces and beets and carrots and all the regular produce that they have to sell from their gardens. So they're going to have a lot of interesting arts and crafts as well, which is always fun.
Yeah, for sure. What are some of the most popular arts and crafts that they sell at the farmers markets?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I buy a lot of that I'm always amazed, but it just shows you how amazing these young farmpreneurs are. I have so many rocks that really they pick up off the ground, they paint them, they make them look cute, and you pay $5. I mean, they're making 100% profit on that. They make soap, they make lotions with herbs from their gardens. They make all kinds of art. One school, Sierra Vista, often does seed art using seeds from their gardens, and they make really cool pictures. So there's greeting cards I like to buy always. Yeah.
Nice. So it's a giant student farmers market, but how giant is giant? How big is this event?
So this event has over 300 students from 30 schools attending from across the Clark County School District. So the kids will be busing in from North Las Vegas, Henderson, Summerlin, downtown Vegas, so all across the school district. The students will be attending. And I do want to say, I want to thank our presenting sponsor, Formula One, because they're such an awesome sponsor and they're bringing a Formula One car for everyone to, you know, take a look at and enjoy. So that's going to be fun also.
Yeah, that's amazing. So how did Formula One Las Vegas Grand Prix become your main sponsor?
So they have always been very supportive of the garden and the hydroponics program. And in fact, I'm very proud to say we have a hydroponic system at their offices here in Las Vegas where their employees are learning how to grow food and they harvest it. But the employees really enjoy coming out to the farmers market. And, you know, in partnership with Marilyn Kirkpatrick, we, you know, formed that partnership with Formula One. And so together, you know, it's a community event and they're really happy to support the students. They're learning, but also, you know, bringing fresh food and these crafts to the community is, you know, exciting. And of course, Formula One is also very interested in being green. They are always making changes and modifications and innovations to their cars to ensure they're sustainable. So they are considered a green brand. And I think also that, you know, the fact that we teach students conservation and how to protect the planet is very important to them also.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's very interesting.
Yeah, in fact, Formula One sponsored a big project on the Strip where they are figuring out how casinos could save water. So they're very interested in also looking at saving water in Southern Nevada because obviously, you know, the drought that we find ourselves in. And so that's also very important to them. Yep.
So what kind of impact have you seen the farmers markets have on these students academically and personally?
That's such a great question. And, you know, we survey the teachers after the event and we also survey the students at the event. And I cannot tell you every single time so many students tell us it was their best day of their lives at school because it's so much fun. They said they feel like rock stars because when they arrive on the buses, we have a green carpet, kind of like the red carpet, and everybody's shouting and applauding and there's a mariachi band playing and it's such a blast. And they just, you know, they feel special as they should. And then they put into action all the things they've learned over the previous 3 months from their teachers, you know, run their business, you know, do their marketing, setting up their booth to look attractive, getting their customers, selling to them, and so on and so forth. So they feel like they're putting into action all the lessons they learned. And I hear a lot from principals. They say, Kira, we can have farmers markets at schools, and that's great, where the kids are selling to their parents. But kids know the difference between selling to their parents and coming out into the community and selling to the community. And that's where they realize, you know, wow, I'm a real business person now, right? I'm selling in the community. And that's so important for the students to have that. They feel empowered. You know, you can imagine if you have that experience at age 10, that it could impact you and you might become an entrepreneur when you leave school or leave college, right?
Yeah, that's amazing. So Green Our Planet has obviously grown a lot over the past 12 years, but what future growth are you planning?
Yeah, that's a great question. So our goal is to be in 10,000 schools by 2033, and we believe we're on track to make that. So that's exciting. And yeah, be in every state. Obviously, we're in 5 countries right now, so expanding into other countries. So becoming a global brand, essentially.
Nice. So you mentioned that the Fall Giant Student Farmers Market is happening next Thursday, October 16th. What time and where exactly is it happening?
Yeah, great question. So the market will take place at the Clark County Government Center, and that is in downtown Las Vegas. You go and you pay your property taxes there. So that's how you might know it, or you pay your water bill. And it's 500 South Grand Central Parkway. That's the address. And it starts at 9:30 to 12:30.
Awesome. Okay. So besides just showing up at the farmers market, how can people find out more about Green Our Planet and the giant student farmers markets that you have on a regular basis?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah. So if you go to our website, greenourplanet.org, you'll find out all the events that we have going on. Go to our Facebook page, Green Our Planet, or Instagram, and you'll find out what's going on and how you can join us. And it's, I tell you, bring your reusable shopping bag and plenty of cash, although the kids also take credit cards, of course. But yeah, it's such a joyful fun. It's just great. I assure you, you will have a wonderful time.
That's awesome. All right. So once again, the website for Green Our Planet is simply greenourplanet.org, greenourplanet.org. You can also find them on Facebook and Instagram. You can find out more about the school garden programs that they run and the Giant Student Farmers Market. And of course, the latest fall Giant Student Farmers Market is happening next Thursday, October 16th from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Clark County Government Center, downtown Las Vegas, 500 South Grand Central Parkway. And we've been speaking today with Kira Byrne, CEO and co-founder of Green Our Planet. And Kira, I really appreciate you being here, letting us know more about Green Our Planet, how you've grown over the years. Even every time I talk to you, it's grown more and more. So it's fantastic to hear the work that you're doing in the community and the difference that you're making for these students. And of course, the Fall Giant Student Farmers Market coming up, always a great event. So thank you so much for sharing today.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Heather.
At Child Fund, hope means helping millions of children worldwide grow up healthy, educated, skilled, and safe. And that means safe at home, at school, and online. Child Fund, because we need each other.
Learn more at childfund.org.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Scott Pfeiffer, former U.S. Senate aide, Wall Street attorney, Hollywood screenwriter, and founder and CEO of GO Campaign, which stands for Giving Opportunity. The nonprofit will celebrate its impact at their annual GO Gala next Friday, honoring Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney for empowering kids through football with their Wrexham AFC Foundation. Scott, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks so much for having me, Heather. I'm really happy to be here.
So first of all, what's GO Campaign?
GO stands for Giving Opportunity, as you said, and our mission is simple. It's to help as many vulnerable children as possible across our country and around the world, giving them the opportunities that they deserve, that we'd want for our own sons and daughters. And we do that by working at the grassroots level, finding and lifting up remarkable local heroes who are transforming the lives of children and young people in their communities.
Nice. Okay. What prompted you to start it?
I took a volunteer vacation to Africa in 2005, and I worked at an orphanage in Kilimanjaro. And that month was the best month of my life, and it changed my life. I saw how easy it was to be able to help those kids and to listen to the people on the ground, get to know them, see what their needs are, and really take a bottom-up approach and to really work closely with them. And so when I came back, I founded this nonprofit just to help those 20 kids. That was my only goal. But it's really snowballed in a very organic and authentic way. And now, 19 years later, we've worked in over 40 countries and have helped over 450,000 children.
Wow, that's amazing. So you mentioned local heroes. How does that work?
Yes, well, you know, we believe in listening more than talking. So we listen to the needs of these local heroes on the ground, and we help them achieve their dreams for children in their communities. Because obviously they know better what kids need. I don't pretend to know what a kid needs in East Africa or in South America. I live in Santa Monica. I don't even pretend to know what a kid needs in Watts or in East LA. And so you have to find people in the community who know best how to address the problems and how to lift people and kids up out of poverty. And so we find these visionaries who are just people who are dedicating their lives, sometimes risking their lives, to give kids the future that they deserve. For example, there's Brenda, who's growing a rehabilitation center for children with autism and Down syndrome and cerebral palsy in Tanzania. There's Fabio, who runs a youth orchestra in Paraguay, where they literally make instruments out of recycled trash and have just transformed the community through this music school. Here where I am in Los Angeles, we have several local heroes working together who we've introduced to each other, who are now working through in Watts and really giving kids a safe space to learn and giving trauma counseling and addressing the mental health crisis for kids here in our country. And so it's so inspiring when you land on these local heroes and you see the work they're doing. Once you know about them, you want to help them. And so really that's our mission at GO Campaign, is to introduce you to these amazing individuals.
Wow, that's great. So tell us about your annual GO Gala happening next Friday.
Yes, this is our 18th gala. This year, we're honoring Rob Mack and Ryan Reynolds and the Wrexham AFC Foundation. Wrexham's values are very much aligned with those of Go Campaign. If you've ever watched the show Welcome to Wrexham, you know that it's all about community. It's about grassroots. It's about listening to the needs of the people on the ground. Yes, it's about a football club and sports programming for kids, but it's about so much more than that. And that's exactly the case with Go Campaign projects. We support programs around the world that teach kids how to surf, how to swim, how to play chess, how to write computer code. But it's always about more than that, right? It's the activity, whether it be music or sports or theater, that's just the way in. It's about teaching teamwork. It's about encouraging kids to find their voice, to gain confidence, and to believe in themselves. And Wrexham is doing that with youth around the world in the same way the Go Campaign is. So it seemed like a natural fit to honor them at this year's gala coming up next Friday.
Awesome. Looking forward, what are Go Campaign's priorities for the year ahead?
Well, you know, our priorities are always the same. Help as many children as we can. Because we at Go cut out the red tape and we work with directly with these people on the ground, our model is very simple. So the more donations we get, the more kids we can help. You make a donation today, that's one more kid, maybe 100 more kids that we can help tomorrow. It's really that direct and that transparent. We currently have to say no to so many deserving projects around our country and around the globe. Projects that are no-brainers that anybody would want to support if they knew about them. So it's really about just helping to spread the word, talking to people like you who can share our story with your community. People then can go to our website at gocampaign.org and learn more about us and really become part of our family, because that means we'll be able to help more kids. And that's the bottom line.
Yeah, great. What does that mean to become part of the Go Campaign family? What kind of help are you looking for from community members?
Well, if you can't come to our gala on October 17th, you can take a look at our online auction, which goes live this Friday. There might be some things you want to buy there and help some kids. Obviously, a tax-deductible donation at gocampaign.org is the easiest and quickest way. But if you're not able to make a financial donation at that time, that's okay, too. You're still welcome to join the family. You can help us spread the word. You can tell your kids' school about us. You can tell your neighbors about us. We have various ways that people can get involved. We have a women's giving circle where women come together and pool resources and they network to become a powerful team to focus on girls' projects, if that's your interest. You could also volunteer at our projects around the globe. Many of the places that we support are in places you might want to go on vacation. And so we'd love to connect you. And, you know, you could take a meaningful vacation, much like the one that I first took in 2005 that set me on this journey. So we encourage everybody to go to our website, send us a message, tell us how you'd like to get involved. We are a family and we'd love to connect with you.
Awesome. All right. So once again, the website for Go Campaign is simply gocampaign.org, gocampaign.org. You can find out all about the work that Go Campaign is doing with kids around the world, helping with education, healthcare, other essential opportunities. And if you'd like to attend the 18th annual Go Gala, that's happening next Friday, October 17th in Beverly Hills. And all the information is also there at gocampaign.org. And we've been speaking today with Scott Pfeiffer, founder and CEO of Go Campaign. Scott, I really appreciate you being here, talking about the work that you've done over the past two decades, what inspired it, the impact that you've made to so many kids locally and around the world. And it sounds like such a great adventure. The Go Gala sounds amazing. So thank you so much for sharing today.
Oh, thank you so much for being an ambassador and helping us spread the word and share our stories. We really appreciate it, and we really look forward to welcoming your listeners into our family.
In times of struggle, conflict, poverty, good finds a way. Good never stops, and neither does Children International. To learn more, go to children.org today.
I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Sherman Gillums, Jr., Senior Director of Public Policy and Advocacy for the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation. The National Paralysis Resource Center, operated by the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, is at risk of losing its funding in the next federal budget. Sherman, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Heather.
So first of all, what's the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, for those who don't know?
The Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation was a product of the experience that Christopher Reeve underwent when he found himself injured during a horsing accident. This happened back in 1995, and part of his effort to come back into life and to overcome the limits of paralysis entailed dealing with limitations of society at the time. And at that time, there were many areas where we hadn't fully understood spinal cord injury from a quality of life point of view. And that included the caregivers and ways that we could support people who have to take care of individuals with spinal cord injury. And this was the experience of Christopher Reeve, who at the time, for people who may not be young enough to know this, he was Superman when I was a kid. And we saw him as a bigger than life figure on the screen. But I think he became even bigger for society as a person who very publicly showed us how to deal with the effects of spinal cord injury. And the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation was a brainchild of that experience.
Wow, that's amazing. So what services does the National Paralysis Resource Center provide?
Well, I think it's always helpful to start with the question of why people should even care. Many of your listeners may not know anybody who has a spinal cord injury, but a lot of us drive. And on an average day, probably a few car accidents. Well, what you may not know is that there are approximately 2 car accidents every 10 seconds in the United States. Motor vehicle accidents are also the most common cause of traumatic spinal cord injury in the U.S. But if you add to that the 5.4 million Americans who live with paralysis, whether that's due to strokes or congenital conditions such as cerebral palsy, or common causes of spinal cord injury such as falls or diseases such as multiple sclerosis, these are not just statistics. These are our children, our aging parents, our neighbors, our coworkers, and our caregivers who seek support through our National Paralysis Resource Center. To date, the center has served over 125,000 individuals and families by opening pathways to maintaining healthy lifestyles, keeping families together by supporting caregivers and providing alternatives to forced institutionalization, turning persons with paralysis into tax-paying citizens by helping them return to the workforce, and closing gaps in military veteran support. And we do this across all 50 states in the U.S. These services are free of charge. And this life critical support goes to people through 5 major programs: military and veterans, peer and family support, quality of life grants that go to community-based organizations, information systems, and a paralysis resource guide, which covers just about every dimension of living with paralysis. In fact, it was one of the first resources placed on my bed when I was recovering at the San Diego VA Medical Center as an active duty Marine in 2002. And since that time, the Reeve Foundation has been competitively awarded the federal funding to operate the Paralysis Resource Center, granted through a rigorous competitive application process every 5 years for renewal through the Administration for Community Living. And so we're proud of the work. A lot of this is just the tip of the iceberg of what we do, and your listeners can log on to ChristopherReeve.org to learn more about it.
Okay. And how important is federal funding in providing these services through the National Paralysis Resource Center?
Well, it's best to probably approach that question based on why it was needed in the first place. The Paralysis Resource Center was established as a result of the consequences of a fragmented system of care for people with spinal cord injuries and other forms of paralysis that existed at the time before the center was established. And as I said before, it was part of Christopher Reeve's vision after he was injured in May 1995 to ensure a person can live a full life with paralysis, provided that the care is delivered with competence, with an eye toward prevention and quality of life, not just living with chronic conditions and finding a way to cope. And some of these conditions include things like infections, blood pressure concerns, bed sores, skin breakdown, and respiratory problems. He believed that life was meant to be lived, not just survived. And he did indeed live that purpose with paralysis. But this is why the center is important, because without it, we'd find ourselves back in a situation where you'd have to basically win the location or economic lottery in order to be lucky enough to get the care you need to overcome the limitations of spinal cord injury or paralysis.
Yeah. If this federal funding is eliminated, what would that mean for those who are living with paralysis as well as their caregivers and families?
Well, what we know now is what's not happening because of the center's availability to the public. But what would happen is any one of the individuals who might find him or herself in that car accident or with a multiple sclerosis diagnosis, they essentially have to rely on what's locally available. In a lot of places, there's simply not the resources needed to proactively get ahead of chronic conditions. Many times we get calls from anxious parents who don't know the first thing about caring for a child with paralysis. You know, if you're in a military, a higher risk of suffering injury, and a lot of times really calls for spouses and parents who simply have no place to go to be available to them because they'll find us, but we mean there are no options for a lot of people.
What feedback have you heard from voters about these proposed funding cuts?
Well, I'll be honest with you. What I hear oftentimes is why the Crisis Resource Center is needed. But I do hear from people who understand and have experienced the benefits of it that life would be much different. We would dread the thought of knowing that there are people in the future who are going to need these resources. If they're not available, they're left with whatever's in those communities. Like I said, in many cases, that don't have the expertise. And you'll probably see a lot more institutionalization as caregivers will be at their wit's end. You'll see people making poor lifestyle choices because they don't know how to prevent things like bed sores, skin breakdown, things like that. So the cost will essentially go to whatever health systems are responsible. And we'll see things happen that, again, we saw happen before 2002 when these resources weren't available. It's tough to think about because we've enjoyed so much success. But I imagine that the reasons why we got here should be enough of a deterrent for why we don't need to go back.
Yeah. What can listeners do at this point to help protect this funding?
I'm here to urge your listeners to learn about the REEF mission and why so many people consider the Paralysis Resource Center the best and only option for holistic paralysis-related support, education, and services. But the best place to start is to log on to ChristopherReeve.org and then find a way to get involved. I think there's something for everyone, whether that entails running a marathon, doing a fundraiser, or reading about what we're doing creatively to ensure no one living with paralysis in its many forms is left behind. I think that's the best place to start, and they'll find all the resources and pathways at ChristopherReeve.org.
Okay, perfect. So once again, the website is ChristopherReeve.org, ChristopherReeve.org. You can find out more about the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation and the work that they've been doing for all these years. You can also find out about the National Paralysis Resource Center, which is operated by the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, and the importance of the work that they do. Get involved, be a volunteer. All of that information is there at ChristopherReeve.org. And we've been speaking today with Sherman Gillams, Jr., Senior Director of Public Policy and Advocacy for the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation. Sherman, I really appreciate you being here. You've provided a lot of information about the importance of the Resource Center and why it might be at risk of losing its funding, what people can do about it, why it is so important for so many people in the country. So thank you so much for sharing today.
I appreciate the opportunity, Heather.
Hi, I'm Bob Maxwell, CEO of Voice of the Veteran. In the last year, we have helped secure nearly $4 million in aid and lifetime benefits for veterans. If you're a veteran, call us today at 702-381-2566.
Lifestyle choices play a key role in breast cancer risk, but a new survey from the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine found that many women remain unaware of how diet factors in. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Christy Funk, a renowned breast cancer surgeon, and breast cancer survivor Nakia Lightfoot. They're here to discuss the role of nutrition in breast cancer prevention. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So, what is the impact of diet and lifestyle on breast cancer risk?
Diet and lifestyle can dramatically reduce your risk of ever getting breast cancer, and if you already have it, of having a recurrence or dying from it. What we've found through the science is that specifically eating a whole food plant-based diet, exercising regularly, maintaining ideal body weight, and minimizing alcohol are the four heavyweights here that are going to move the needle away from cancer. The letsbeatbreastcancer.org campaign aims to create that awareness and education that women and men really need to understand how to implement these four prongs into daily life and therefore maximize their health.
What does the new survey reveal about women's awareness of nutrition and prevention?
The Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine launched this survey of over 2,000 women and found that when they asked the question, hey, do you know what prevents breast cancer? What can you do? Over 60% said mammograms and self-exams, which are both great ways for early detection, but that's not prevention. The number of women that actually knew that diet had a direct impact was only 25%. Only 12% knew that alcohol and exercise had an impact, and only 5% understood how weight influences breast cancer. So we have a lot of work to do to educate the public about how much power they actually hold at the end of their fork to change their health destiny. And that is the exact goal of the letsbeatbreastcancer.org campaign, to create awareness, actionable steps through resources that people receive completely for free.
Nikia, you're a breast cancer survivor. Can you tell us about your personal journey and how your journey with breast cancer shaped your commitment to plant-based eating and education?
Well, at 34, I was, you know, one of 1 in 8 women in the United States diagnosed with breast cancer. It was a shock because breast cancer doesn't run in my family. So in addition to traditional medicine, I adopted a plant-based diet that supported my journey to healing and recovery. And I immediately had opportunities to speak with the community, to share my story and share the benefits of a plant-based diet. Through my journey, I opened Fuji Vegan, which is a 100% plant-based comfort food restaurant. I wanted to dispel the myths about plant-based food and offer options to the community. We offer an extensive menu and we offer meal prep services as well as cooking classes for the community.
How has this diet changed your life?
Well, I've always been a lover of vegetables, but it definitely increased after my diagnosis. I would incorporate a lot of kale, spinach, collards, flax seeds, avocado, chickpeas, quinoa, and I noticed a decrease in inflammation in my body. My blood pressure and cholesterol decreased, and I had minimal side effects from the radiation. But overall, I was nourished mentally and physically.
So Dr. Funk, what does the Let's Beat Breast Cancer campaign hope to achieve, and how can women get involved?
The Let's Beat Breast Cancer campaign hopes to achieve awareness. We're not here to raise funds. We just want to raise eyebrows. We want you to understand that you have so much control over your health destiny, and we're here to help you do that with fun, community-oriented events. So just go to letsbeatbreastcancer.org, sign up completely for free. We'll send you those tips and resources through an e-starter guide following that four-pronged approach. You'll get our coveted e-cookbook filled with delicious plant-based recipes. And also you'll get notifications of upcoming events. For example, every Tuesday night in October, we're doing my Live at 5 on Instagram Live. That's 5 p.m. Pacific time, where we'll go through each one of the four-pronged approaches in detail with a special guest. We also have rallies, over 66 rallies across the country, and coming on Sunday, October 19th to Las Vegas at the Farmers Market on Las Vegas Boulevard at 10 a.m. will be your local rally. So we are going to invite local high school drum lines to be there to beat the drum to beat breast cancer. We expect to have tons of health experts, thrivers, survivors, and health advocates there, really just to come together with this common goal of understanding more about how diet and lifestyle impact breast cancer risk and outcome, but in a really fun, community-based, chill way. Just go to letsbeatbreastcancer.org.
Dr. Funk and Nikia, thank you both so much for the time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Join our team in the fight against cancer at V.org.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the valley. Green Our Planet's Fall Giant Student Farmers Market is happening next Thursday, October 16th from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Clark County Government Center in downtown Las Vegas, 500 South Grand Central Parkway. The student-run farmers market will feature produce grown from Clark County School District school gardens. Find out more at greenourplanet.org. That's greenourplanet.org. NAMI Southern Nevada, our local chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness, is hosting their NAMI Walk Southern Nevada fundraising walk next Saturday, October 18th from 9:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Lorenzi Park, 3333 West Washington. This year's walk is Halloween themed and costumes are encouraged. Register, create a team, or find out more at namiwalks.org/Southern Nevada. That's namiwalks.org/Southern Nevada. Communities and Schools of Nevada is holding their 15th annual Today for Tomorrow fundraising UnGala next Saturday, October 18th at 6 p.m. at Fontainebleau, Las Vegas. This year's honoree is former board chair and president, Congresswoman Susie Lee, and the theme is TV game shows. Find out more or get your tickets at cisnevada.org. That stands for Communities and Schools Nevada, cisnevada.org. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include Monday, October 20th at 8 p.m. benefiting the Roseman University Empowered Program, and Monday, November 3rd at 8 p.m. benefiting the Nevada Acro Foundation. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. The Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department Foundation is holding their 12th annual Best of the Badge Gala on Friday, October 24th at 5 p.m. at The Wynn. Get tickets, sponsor an officer, or find out more at lvmpdfoundation.org. That stands for Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department Foundation, lvmpdfoundation.org. And Living Grace Homes is holding their annual Glitter, Glamour, and Grace Runway Luncheon on Friday, November 7th from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at Ahern Luxury Boutique Hotel on West Sahara Avenue. Proceeds go towards providing safe shelter and support to pregnant young women and mothers facing homelessness. Get your tickets or find out more at livinggracehomes.org. That's livinggracehomes.org.